Tonight, it's the turning of a new page as Saraya debuts on AEW's Grand Slam. The Great Muta's retirement tour has hit North America. WWE has us chasing white rabbits. Sami Zayn takes us on an emotional roller coaster over a t-shirt. And Cody Rhodes may have just shown his cards for a return date. It's another edition of Canada's only national pro wrestling radio show. This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hey, I'm Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event. Powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. This show is always available to you for free on the air on TSN Radio. Also, the iHeartRadio and News Talk networks, our affiliate stations across Canada, and online at snmeradio.com. If you want this show early, join our Patreon, patreon.com/snmeradio. For about $1 a week, you get this show in its entirety, commercial-free, plus loads of daily podcasts, everything from TV reviews to trivia to music, even a few surprises in there we throw in from time to time. Some interesting news to come out of the world of wrestling this week. We look at some of the biggest stories through a segment called The Five Count.
You want to hear that breaking news?
I can't believe this. Listen to that response for Saraya.
Britt Baker looks like she's seen a ghost, but it's not a ghost. It's Saraya.
Saraya's debut on Dynamite has us asking a lot of questions. The woman who's formerly known as Paige in WWE is now officially All Elite. But what does that mean? You might remember that as Paige, she suffered a career-threatening neck injury back in 2017, which followed a back injury in 2016. Now, Saraya had mentioned on her social media that she was thinking about a comeback and even implied she was training, but was never cleared by WWE Medical. Saraya was released from WWE in July of this year. She is appearing as a special referee in her family's promotion back in England. That comes up on October 15th.
Yeah, what?
What? Oh, my God! JR!
One of the greatest of all time!
The Great Muta, one of Sting's greatest rivals of all time!
The Great Muta and Sting will tag together once more. Following the Great Muta's surprise return to AEW on Friday's Rampage, it was confirmed that he and Sting will be teaming up together one more time.
I have wrestled this guy all over the globe, especially here in the United States, in Japan, quite a few times. 65,000 people, Fukuoka Dome, the Tokyo Dome, all over the place and all over here in the United States. And this guy he pushed me to my limits so many times over the years. And to have him with me here at Grand Slam in America one last time, bottom line is, I have bragging rights. It's always showtime when this guy's around.
Sting, Great Muta, number one.
Now, Muta is currently going across North America on part of his farewell tour. The Great Muta's final match, now tagging with Sting, will take place for Pro Wrestling NOAH in Yokohama next January. Is Cody Rhodes thinking what we're thinking? It was back in July that Cody Rhodes tore his pectoral muscle. Remember, he had that gigantic bruise on his chest. He still wrestled that brutal match at Hell in a Cell against Seth Rollins. After that match, it was announced that Rhodes could be out up to 9 months as he rehabs from that injury. Now, after being interviewed by TMZ, Rhodes may have given us a little indication as to when his return could be.
Is there like some kind of more accurate timeline you can give us?
You know what? They haven't really given me one because they know I'm stupid and I try to test it.
I got
in my mind where I want to be, and I think a lot of fans have in their mind where I'd like to be.
Yeah.
And that's hopefully where it's at.
See, if his timeline and our timeline is on the same page and a lot of fans are hoping and speculating that it could be the Royal Rumble, that could be where we see Cody this January. Could the City of Champions be the place that we see the return of Bray Wyatt? Yeah, I'm still calling it that. Last week, there was a QR code on Raw, followed by another cryptic message and t-shirts being released on Friday night. The latest online hint for a return of Bray Wyatt has been the release of an interactive website taking you through a maze. Once you've done the maze, global coordinates for Rogers Place in Edmonton, where tomorrow's episode of Raw is emanating from, are given along the word patricide before the screen goes to black. And we take another look at some of the injuries plaguing the big companies in pro wrestling. Ruby Soho's broken nose has required surgery. No word yet on how long she's going to have to recover, but it did result in her having to cancel an upcoming overseas appearance. Kushida has had to sit out the New Japan Burning Spirit finale. Kushida was diagnosed with hand, foot, and mouth disease, which can cause blisters and irritation on the hands, and sometimes other parts of the body as well. AEW's Alex Reynolds is out of action with a foot injury. Of course, CM Punk, Christian Cage, Thunder Rosa, and other AEW stars are also out. WWE's current injured list includes Becky Lynch, Randy Orton, Rick Boogs, Big E, and Eric from the Viking Raiders, among others. Coming up, how one wrestling pundit's comments may have been taken way too far by fans. We're going to try and clear some of the air with the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer next on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
When I'm on me boat, battling the waves, trying to gather me fish, it takes two important factors. A keen eye and a peeled ear. Me pappy told me, when you least expect it, expect it. And don't let a little choppy water get in your way. So when I pops the top of my Lake Effect IPA, I don't fret when the crest of a wave slaps me hard and I spill a little bit down me chin. I think of it as a favor, cause it's not too often out here that I gets to wash me beard. Go with the Lake Effect. It'll guide you right every time.
Lake Effect IPA, now available at an LCBO near you, the GLB retail store, and GreatLakesBeer.com.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
It's the time where we check in with the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer. Of course, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find him. One of a select group of people who've been tracking wrestling or reporting on wrestling for decades now. Dave, what is it, like you're in your fourth or fifth decade now?
70, 80, 90, 0, 1, 2, 6.
Wow. There's other people who do what you do, and one of them caused a bit of a stir, which I always hate it when this happens, and I think it happens to everybody once in a while. Wade Keller, who also does a great wrestling podcast, he had some speculation, CM Punk's contract being bought out by AEW and him not returning to the company. Realistically, he was presenting an option that could happen, but somehow this has turned into a story. Is there any sort of talk about this happening at all?
I mean, it was crazy because I woke up and it was all the people going like, oh my God, CM Punk's gone. He's accepted a buyout. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then I tried to find out what it was. And it was Wade Keller talking about a potential thing. It's like a non-story. It's like stuff that I talk about all the time, which sometimes the next day turns into stories. And it's like, it was just something that we were talking about as a possibility or just an idea. And that's all it was just a possibility, an idea. And I mean, one of the things about what's happened with AEW and these guys and everything is because the company is so quiet on it, it leads to speculation. Well, what's happening? And the reality is that we don't know. And I don't expect when it comes to Punk, I mean, it could be wrong, but I don't expect anything to come until 6-8 months down the line because it doesn't have to. You know, he's injured and I don't think that he's going to be gone while he's injured. And then as far as like everybody else, everything's up in the air. When time comes where he's healthy and he can come back, he'll either come back or he won't. I mean, and there's a lot more to it than just the deal that happened. I mean, he also has to look at his own health because, I mean, he's been hurt twice in a short period of time. And both injuries are probably, I know the foot injury, he told me it was like the most serious injury that he's ever had. And it was really hard to come back from. Tricep is not as bad in some ways because you can walk and you can do things, but it's still a long, painful thing. So I don't think that we're going to really hear anything about Punk for 6-7 months from now. And then at that point, you know, decisions have to be made.
Well, and again, this is speculation, but even in a world where things could go one way or another, most corporations, most companies, and I'm assuming AEW being the fact that they are tied to the Khan family and the Jaguars and everything. They know how these things work. Very rarely will you hear of a release happening during an injury, no matter what.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask you about this because I get sick and tired of these stories that get out, and people are just doing it for clickbait, and people want to speculate. And look, like love or hate the guy, they are still human beings. This is still their job, their life. And until something comes out, you can't just blurt out that, oh, a buyout's happening. It's already halfway done. And nobody knows. Right.
I mean, I've heard a million things about CM Punk, and I'm pretty tied to a lot of people in that company. And the reality is that nothing is official. Anything can happen. But I would say that Wade going through ideas that could happen, and it could, it's not a story. And I think he would be the first to say it's like,
absolutely. Hey, it's just, yeah.
Sometimes that happens to me. I'll say something. I don't even put it in the newsletter. Or if I put it in the newsletter, it's one line. And all of a sudden it becomes this big story the next morning. I go, what? I mean, well, it's a giant story and people are looking for a finality and they're looking for answers. And I am too. And the reality is there are none. We just got to sit and wait. I think that we probably will get the full story at some point. It's probably not going to be this week and it's probably not going to be next week. And I'm not sitting here going like, oh, this is the week. It's like, it'll happen when it happens. And right now, AEW's chugging along doing their TV and the guys are suspended. They're all suspended. We'll hear more.
As much as this isn't cool or clickbaity to say, I still hope there's a situation where cooler heads just prevail. And
I mean, that'd be the best thing.
They all get on the page, right? Where it's like, we're seeing what the wrestlers that are there are doing now. And it's very company centric again. It's very focused on the overall product, it seems. And I think that maybe that needs to carry on to some of the top players as well. I don't know. That's just me.
I would like to see everybody being able to work together for a common cause because they're all on the same team, so to speak, and be team players. The big picture of AEW is a giant news story in this industry. And it's a very important part of the industry. And them being competitive is very, very important. And there's, you know, the reality is that the future of wrestling is going to be determined by what happens with WBD, what happens with mergers, and what happens with all these things that are just completely out of everyone's control. You know, it's not like 15 years ago where I could go like, if he booked better, things would be different. And it's like, that's not it right now. You know, and even like losing those guys, the big picture is, you know, something else. But you want to see successful shows, you want to see entertaining television, and you want to see alternatives for the guys, you know, because it escalates the salary structure for the guys. And it's great for the business if you're a fan, is to have alternatives and strong alternatives. That's the thing. There's always going to be an alternative, but you want strong alternatives to keep the business moving really well.
Well, speaking of someone who took an alternative, Saraya, she shows up on AEW. Do we know what, if anything, she's going to be doing? Is this talking about, is she going to be coming back into the ring as a performer? Because there was speculation, even by her on her own social media, that she'd been training. She'd brought up things like Edge and Bryan Danielson and their recovery from their neck injuries. Has there been any hints dropped to you at all about what her future in AEW is going to look like as far as how she is used?
If she's medically cleared, she will probably wrestle. And if she is not medically cleared, she probably will not wrestle. She wants to be cleared, and they may have cleared her already. I know that she had not been cleared as of days ago. People in Independence had talked to her, and it was like she wouldn't be able to wrestle. But it's up to the judgment of Doc Samson, you know, because he's the head of medical at AEW. And if he thinks that she can go, she will go and she will be a wrestler. And if he thinks that the injuries are so much that she can't, she won't. I mean, like, it's a funny thing because we've seen, you know, like Edge is a perfect example, you know, and Sting is another one of people who were medically disqualified by WWE. Danielson was another one. Edge has come back and been great. Sting has come back and been, you know, for his age, been incredible. And he was not supposed to ever be able to wrestle again unless he had surgery, and he didn't have the surgery. Like, I remember when Danielson retired. I even wrote it in the story when I wrote on Danielson. People say this is it. He's done. He's retired. He's never coming back. And I thought, you never say 100% because people heal. Hopefully she's healed. I hope the best for her. I really do. And for the company. And I just hope it, I hope it all works out.
Same here. I hope it's just not a case of a short-term return like it was last time, where she just got off that brutal back injury, comes back, and all of a sudden her neck goes in that match. And that was it. So, I mean, WWE, they kept trying to find uses for her, obviously. They kept her on contract for so long, and then they just let the deal go. But there is still definitely a lot of talent and a lot of interest, clearly, by the reaction she got when she came out. So
everybody new comes in and gets the big reaction, you know, so
right.
I mean, it's, you know, everyone will, you know, first week, but hopefully she can be what she was and she can be, you know, a success. And they're really trying to build the women's side very hard, even though some people think that they're not. I know they are. And she's very valuable if she can wrestle. And you know, she's a good talker. There are other ways to use her, not wrestling. But obviously, the preference would be if she can wrestle.
We're talking to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. This is Sunday night's main event. Douglas on Facebook, on our SNME Radio Facebook. We talked about Sami Zayn and his ridiculously good performance on Friday in the promo segment with Roman and the entire Bloodline, his new t-shirt, and how it looked like they were going to pull the pin on Sami. So Douglas actually posted, I hope I'm wrong, but do you ever get the feeling that Sami Zayn could be another one of the greatest to never hold a world title in WWE? This is more of an opinion piece, Dave, but I want to get your thoughts on it.
Because a lot of people don't get that opportunity. And now that there's one championship, unless they go back to two, which, you know, I know it's been talked about, it makes it even harder. You know, I mean, a lot of guys may never get that talent wise. Sure. You know, he's super talented. Will it ever happen? I mean, you never say 100% no, but like if I'm thinking on the list of guys that they would put it on, he's not high in that list.
Right.
But he's an incredible performer, and they may come up with an idea or just think, hey, it's time to do it. There's no right or wrong. I mean, you can do it and you can also not do it. And it's not wrong if you don't do it. You know, the title should not be something that you get for being there for 10 years and being a good soldier. The title should be there for the top guy in the company, or else it's just a pass around belt that means nothing. And most of the belts are, you know, it's like if you win the Intercontinental, it's well and good, but it's not like you're going to main event pay-per-views with it. You know, whereas if you've got that world title, you're counted on to main event pay-per-views.
Well, they seem to be trying to elevate the US and Intercontinental titles, but yeah, the main title is still definitely Roman. Looks like he's going to be having it forever. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be something when he finally loses.
That's just it. And who, right? Who's going to be the one to take it? Yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to play with that a bit here, because there have been champions, unlikely champions, that have made it and actually elevated. But Sami is one of those guys who is stealing the show every week.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, I almost see it like, what if he won the title by mistake? If he was put into a match or a situation.
The thing is, if you remember Bryan Danielson, when he first won the title, it was made to be a total fluke. When he first won the title, I mean, it was meant as a joke of this little guy, when you've got the Big Show and you've got Mark Henry, and somehow he squeaks through and it's this cute little story. And he was a heel doing it too. You know, thinking that he's a real world champion. I mean, Sami could do the Bryan Danielson thing. You could do it. I don't think that Paul Levesque treats the championship like that. I think that he's going to treat the championship like you really want it on a top guy, not a guy who's like this fluke thing or this cute thing, or like, here, have the belt because you've done 10 years of good service.
Yeah.
And maybe he will. I mean, it's still early in the Paul Levesque game. We don't really know. Great performer, and he may never get it. You know, he may get it. Who knows? Yeah, there's no way of knowing.
Okay, Dave, you had to know we were going there. What is up with the White Rabbit?
I mean, I figure it's Bray Wyatt, but I don't know for sure. And that's what everyone figures. And it's coming soon, and they're building it up. And evidently, a lot of people are very interested in it more than I thought, based on the preliminary rating of SmackDown. You know, the real rating comes out tomorrow, so it's still preliminary, but the preliminary rating of SmackDown was very high. And when I saw that, it was just like, well, what? I mean, I go like, if this White Rabbit thing is strong, the rating on Friday will go up. I expected it might go up a little bit, you know, but it went up a lot. As of right now, it is a lesson that we've learned that is a very effective way of marketing, because it was something new. Sometimes something new works and sometimes something new doesn't work. And so far, for 1 week, it's been a big success.
So we got 923 at 923 teased in the initial video that came up from the QR code. The only thing that happened was a pair of t-shirts got released and then a new interactive video. Did you play the video game? Did you play the maze?
No, I didn't.
I did, because I'm a sucker for those things. But we then get the global coordinates for Edmonton's Rogers Center.
Sure.
Now, that is going to be Raw tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great group of listeners there on TSN 1260. I know my buddy Yukon Jack from the Bears going to that show and a bunch more. But the question is, are they walking a fine line of bait and switching here? Because that Friday, I don't think you could call it anything else but a bait and switch.
I think they're going to be doing this for a while, because once you do it, that's going to be the new thing. I think that they'll do more of this because it worked so much. Of course, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, the results, it will not work as well.
That's what I'm worried about. Are they burning the fans out on it? Like
right now, it's too early to say that. If they go 8 months, they'll burn the fans out.
Yeah, but people are already tired of stuff real quick. Like, you fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm going to find something else to watch.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, look, we'll follow the ratings. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, as long as the ratings are up a little bit, then it's working. And then when the ratings aren't, at that point, if it's not working, maybe it's time to then pull the trigger. I don't think it's going to be like months in the making. I would think it'd be weeks. I don't have like this. This is the date that they're going to reveal it. But I do think that when the date comes, they will make sure that, you know, this is the date. You know, it's not going to be the surprise where, oh, there he is. It's going to be like when he's going to show up, it's going to be like 1 week from today, I reveal myself. And then that 1 week is the show that they expect to get the big number and the big pop. And he's got to shoot his angle and see where it takes you.
Do you think it would make sense for the Fiend Bray Wyatt to come back with the Firefly Funhouse, or are they?
I think it'll be a new character.
Going way back.
I think it'll be something completely different. I don't think it'll be the Fiend. I don't think it'll be the original Bray Wyatt. I think that they're going to do something different. But no one's told me that. And the Fiend was a success, but I mean, it was a success and it was not a success in the sense that it killed everyone that he worked with. Yeah. I would say killed him dead, because, you know, Seth Rollins is obviously not dead, but it hurt Seth. You know, Miz isn't dead, but it hurt Miz. You know, I think Owens was the only one who really survived it well. It was a tough character to play off of because he had to be a monster and a lot of other things. But that's why I don't think it'll be the Fiend. I think it'll be something else. But people will go crazy if it is the Fiend, because having been gone for all this time, the anticipation of him and the nostalgia for the character will have grown better than the character really was. Because when that character was around, I thought it was creative as hell, but I can't say it was that successful because the matches were brutal. You know what I mean?
And it became an every week thing too. Like it wasn't special anymore. Every week you'd see some sort of version of the Fiend and okay, that's great. And then you get the matches, like you said, a little lackluster to say the least and hard to get behind.
I'm also interested to see what, if anything, the Alexa Bliss character will have to do, because they sure keep telling you, Alexa Bliss isn't what she is. And there's a reason they're doing that. It's not because she isn't what she is. It's because they're building to something. And that Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss did have that deal. Again, I didn't like it with Alexa Bliss either. I don't think anybody did,
to be honest.
Yeah, like, I'm not into the supernatural stuff. I'm not saying there's no place for it, but limited, because if you it changes the dynamic, especially like with the Levesque version of wrestling. I think he wants it to be a solid sort of sports like thing. And you can do a little bit of weirdness, but you don't want it to override the product itself.
As we move forward here, one more question for you, Dave, as we look back at the week of wrestling. Liv Morgan had a match against Lacey Evans. This is the first time we've seen Lacey since the Levesque takeover.
She did one match a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, did she?
Okay. Yeah, she did one match with a new outfit. I remember that. And then she was gone, but it's only one. And when Vince, she just disappeared when Vince disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's got this like camo face paint going on now. What are we doing with her?
I don't think that they really know. They spent so much time building that last character, and then they, I don't know if they dropped it, but it didn't, for all the build, it sure went nowhere. Mm-hmm. And not all, because, it was a Vince. So, I mean, even before Vince left, they did the heel turn, which I know was the original plan. And she did get heat as a heel, but it kind of negated all the build. You know what I mean? When she went heel. So, yeah, she's a character on the show. And, I don't know if there's anything really more to it at this point.
It felt like they were trying to do an updated Kurt Angle approach, right? Where someone who should be the hero isn't.
It was the original idea was to do a women's Kurt Angle approach. Yes.
Okay, Dave. Well, again, another interesting week of wrestling ahead of us here. One thing I wanted to ask you about too, I'm going to Dynamite in Toronto here. Any tips for going to a Dynamite and a Rampage taping for a guy?
Both days?
I'm going both. Yeah.
You've got press credentials and everything, right?
Yes, sir. But they're not even doing a scrum. They're not doing any interviews. It's almost a waste of a trip, to be honest with you. But
I would hope that they would do some media building up to it. And, it is the first time in the country. Yeah, Tony.
That's what I was hoping, too. You know, if you can get Tony on the blower, send him my number. I'd really appreciate it. But seriously, it's one of those things where it does seem, and I don't know if it's just the timing and they're afraid of what happened at the last scrum or what, but it is kind of a shame that they're not doing any sort of on-site media. Now, they might do some builds. I've been told I might get an interview or two before the show, but I got my application in, I booked my flights, and then I found out there's nothing on-site. So I'm kind of like, this sucks.
I would, if it's me, I would definitely do a media scrum after this one. They usually don't after Dynamite. They didn't after the New York Dynamite either. But right. I think for first time in the country, I think that they should do it. And I will, I hope that they do that. I'll I will actually bring that up. Not that that matters, but I'll bring it up because I do think it's a really good idea.
Mike McGuire, Sunday Night's Main Event.
Yeah.
Dave, always appreciate your insight and your time. As far as the Wrestling Observer and the newsletter from this past week, what can people read about?
You know, the Big Show Wednesday, the Arthur Ashe Stadium show. We have a lot of news on that behind the scenes, business-wise. You know, it was really, you know, $1 million gate and everything. You know, it was a lot, very successful. I did a two-month July-August look at all aspects of business for WWE and AEW and who's up and who's down. And it's interesting. I mean, it's not a surprise if you're following close.
Right.
And then covered a lot of, you know, a lot of big shows. That Arena Mexico show was phenomenal. Their anniversary show. There was All Japan did its 50th anniversary show at Budokan Hall. Logan Paul and Roman Reigns had a big story on Logan Paul and Roman Reigns, obviously. And, you know, that's just the main stuff.
And one last thing, Dave, before we let you go, what show and who was it that was talking about Muda and Sting should tag together one more time?
Me? Didn't I say that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that I kind of may have said to you, and then you said, that's a good idea.
I absolutely, you know, suggested that idea, and I'm not saying that's why it happened.
No, God, no.
But it, no, when I saw, it's just logical, and Tony's going to come up with that on his own.
Yeah.
Tony was a fan, and he knows about Sting and Muda. And when Muda announced he wanted to do one last United States match, I thought AEW is the perfect place because of Sting, you know, Lincoln with Sting. Do it. I don't know that they're doing a tag match. I would.
Well,
like
they said they're doing it in Japan now, didn't they?
They're doing a tag match. They're doing something in Japan in January at Budokan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would hope that they would do one last thing on the maybe November or February pay-per-view. February pay-per-view, I think they might be 2 weeks before his finale, which is like, I think February 21st. So I would hope that they could do that. This was the angle for a match in the U.S. just to do it, even if it's on a Dynamite, just to do it. I'd like to see, you know, it's not like it's going to be a great match. It's not like he's going to be able to do much, but
and I'll just go ahead and say it. Put it on Rampage where you can edit it if you have to.
Yeah. I mean, just do it, you know, just do it once. You know, I mean, he wants one last U.S. match, you know, Sting as the tag team partner makes perfect sense. You know, do a six man with Darby. He only has to tag in a couple times and do the few things that he can do, and no one's expecting anything. It's just like a nice, you know, farewell to the great Muda, who was a, you know, one of like, again, you know, he's one of the biggest stars of our generation worldwide. So I'd like to see him get a nice send off. You know, I know a lot of people are, obviously there've been some negativity. Maybe he stayed around too long. He had a lot of injuries in Japan because of his name. He was kept on top, and maybe the last run was difficult, but I understand why they did it too, because it was the biggest name in pro wrestling, Noah, and they're trying to expand, and his name in Japan is bigger than all the rest of their names. Unfortunately, you know, could he do the matches that the younger guys could do? No, he couldn't. But sometimes you need that. You know, it's like when WWE brought back Bill Goldberg, or when they would bring back Undertaker and things like that, could they do what they used to do? No, but can it be effective when it's done once? Of course it can. And it's just part of wrestling, is giving fans some special moments. So I don't know that the last great Muda match in the United States is anything gigantic, but I think it's big enough that it should happen.
Well, coming up next, we're going to talk to Joe Aguinaldo from right here on the SNME Radio Podcast Network, and he's going to share his memories of watching the great Muda growing up, and of course, his feedback to the return of Muda on AEW this past Friday on Rampage. This has been Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, you're very welcome. We'll see you next week.
We got more to come on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show,
Front Happy Collections, and more.
We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Okay.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike McGuire. It was a very eventful week as far as returns and re-debuts, and we've talked about the fact that Bray Wyatt has us chasing rabbits now, apparently. Saraya making a huge splash, but we don't even know if she's going to be wrestling yet. One person who we also saw come back to North America this past weekend, Friday, on Rampage, even though it was taped on the Wednesday, the Great Muta came and made the save for Sting in an attack from the House of Black. Joining me to talk about this and a little more about the Great Muta and why this guy is such a big deal, from our SNME Radio podcast family, he joins me every Tuesday morning for a show called Tuesday Morning Cooked, where we look back on Monday Night Raw, as well as our All Elite Weekly podcast, Joe Aguinaldo. Joe, how's your Sunday, man?
Sunday's going well, man.
That's good. All right, so take us back to Friday. You were watching Rampage. You knew what was going to happen, but Muta comes out, and it's him and Sting in the ring together one more time. Goosebumps? Are you going back on a nostalgia trip? What does it make you feel?
Actually, correction. I didn't know it was going to happen because I did not look at spoilers for Rampage.
Wow. All right.
So when the whole thing happened, I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he walked out. I'll admit let's call it the 16, 17 year old wrestling fan in me just kind of freaked out a little bit. I'm yelling at my TV. Oh, my God, it's Muta. Oh, my God, it's Muta. Man, when I was a young wrestling fan, because again, that would have been around the time I would say between 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that area. He totally captivated me because he was not something that we had seen. That was a very different style of wrestling than we had seen, you know, with the handspring elbows and, you know, the moonsaults and stuff like that. You didn't see that back in those days. Right. So when he came out of the scene, like it was awesome. And again, let's move back even a little further than that. When he first came out and he was billed as the Great Kabuki's nephew or something like that. And the Great Kabuki used to scare the crap out of me as a kid. So anyways, coming back to when he showed up and he helped Sting, I was freaking out. I was having a great time with it. Always been a fan of the Great Muta. And even later on, when I got into Japanese wrestling, his matches as Keiji Muto, seeing him, for example, in the, I believe it was the 91 G1 Classic when he, Chono and, I forgot the third Musketeer anyways, when they got over and kind of got big. So I've always been a fan of Keiji Muto.
Muta has a legacy of influencing so many people as well. I mean, so many people have taken from his style, like you talked about moves like the handspring elbow and things like that. But also the actual Muta character has seen, we'll say, impersonators through the years. I can think of every promotion has had some mysterious Japanese character. A lot of Japanese wrestlers brought in the Mist in WWF. In the Attitude Era, especially, Tajiri was known for using the Mist. Asuka's using it now. It's just one of those things that kind of just has become part of wrestling lexicon. But what was it for you that made Muta so special?
Again, let's start with the wrestling moves. You didn't see moonsaults back in that time. Okay. Again, you didn't see handspring elbows. The guy was just this athletic dude. You know, even his power drop, elbow drop, like his corkscrew elbow. He was he had a very high impact offense that you weren't seeing in those days. Add to that the mystery of the face paint, his mannerisms in the ring. And it was just this package of, oh my God, what am I watching? And it's awesome in the ring. And then on top of that, he's fighting Sting and all my favorites. So like, you know, I'm like, come on, Sting, you got to beat this guy. But he was like this Japanese monster that Sting couldn't seem to beat from time to time.
And that was the thing with him. I've told stories on this before, talking with Meltzer and with others about my exposure to Muta being those WCW years. And I didn't get to watch a lot of Japanese wrestling until later. And then seeing guys like Kojima and Sanada and others who would kind of emulate that Muta style as well. But when I saw Muta in WCW back in the day, it was like exactly that. Who knew just something as simple as solid face paint,
yep,
with maybe a little bit of writing or a little bit of whatever on it. There was just something about him and his presence underneath that paint that just made him terrifying. He always seemed dangerous. You know, they gave Tajiri the Japanese buzzsaw gimmick. But I mean, let's be honest here. If he's the buzzsaw, then Muta's the tree grinder then. You know, Muta's the pulper, I guess, whatever you call it. When you go now to Muta of today, you see him coming out. It's got to be a pure nostalgia trip.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you can just tell by the way that he moves that he's in, let's say, rough shape. And yeah. I'm going to even talk about some of his days back. Now, this is a while back, but even in 2001, 2002, when he went to All Japan, I mean, he was having some great matches, but man, it was hard to watch him move around. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of watching Matt Hardy move around right now. Just the way that
man,
it's like that. And that was like back years ago, he was moving like that. So like, it was cool to see him walking out, you know, on Friday. But at the same time, I was like, man, I hope they don't make him do anything too crazy.
Well, he did the leg takedown and that was a nice snap. And then he got the mist in. So obviously they're not betting on a lot of physicality from him.
Yeah.
The farewell match has been announced. Will be Sting and Muta tagging together. Not sure if there's going to be more people involved in this match or not. But that comes up in January of 2023. Are you watching that match?
I will find it somewhere. I mean, I can't not watch, you know, the last match of the Great Muta. And again, keep in mind, I know we're talking specifically Great Muta, but I am a Keiji Muto fan as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Well, and that's the other question, I guess, is, you know, he keeps saying he's retiring the Great Muta personality. Is Keiji Muto done then? He's 59 now. Do you think that he tries, you know, 5 years from now and tries to pull a Ric Flair and comes back, or do you think it's done?
Oh, I hope he's done. Again, he has earned whatever right to do whatever he wants in terms of a last match. But man, if it's anything like what Ric Flair's last match was, I would rather not see that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, all due respect to Flair, I mean, you live your life, you do what you want to do. But, you know, when it becomes something that you're putting out to fans and fans are more worried about you than we are worried about celebrating you, I think that's when we got to kind of draw a line.
I would hope that if he is going to do sort of that last match type of deal later on, that it is a tag match and not a singles match. So at least he can lean on somebody, you know, very similar to what Ric Flair did. But again, if this match with Sting is his last match, given the history that those two have had as both opponents and as tag team partners, I think that's a great way to go out.
He is Joe Aguinaldo. You can hear him weekly on the SNME Radio podcast feed, patreon.com/SNME Radio, for about $1 a week is what it works out to. And you're getting loads of shows. Joe, this Monday, Raw is from Edmonton. This is weird because I'm from Edmonton, but I won't be going. Am I going to be missing the debut of Bray Wyatt, you think?
I hope not. But
or the return of Bray Wyatt, I guess, because it's obviously debut. But
I'm going to give up speculating on that because I got excited about that 923-923 thing. And when it didn't happen, I was like, you know what?
Well, it did happen. They dropped a T-shirt and another puzzle.
Yeah, but still, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the show.
Yeah. That's fair. Catchphrase we have on Tuesday Morning Cooked. Got to watch the show. All right. Joe Aguinaldo again. SNME Radio Podcast Network. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Coming up, if you are hopping a plane or are in the GTA area and are going to be making your way to AEW's Dynamite and Rampage tapings, we got a special event to tell you about. That's coming up next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and, well-stained pants.
Aw, man, you spilled beer on my shinny pants, bud.
Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's Mike McGuire here, and you may hear in the background Boris Aguilar from our BAM podcast, from NXT Talk, from, well, anything else he wants to do, frankly. Boris, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a minute. You and I haven't chatted in a while.
Yeah, it's been a little too long, some would say. Others would say not long enough.
Who talks about how often we talk?
I don't know.
That's fair.
I don't know.
Boris is at an airport right now to parts unknown. Of course, as we discovered years ago, part of the island Parte Anune. But you have a little bit of time to tell us about what's coming up the day that AEW brings Dynamite to Toronto. Now, this will be my first time going to the Coca-Cola Arena. And also, you guys have lined up a bit of a party here. So tell me, first of all, how did this all come to be and what are we doing?
Right. So this is one of those things where right before the pandemic, Jason Agnew had this huge party planned at the Great Lakes Brewery. And then the world changed, right?
Right.
So the SNME family was never able to really meet up. Now, with the ongoing interest of AEW and just like the overall like celebration of wrestling motif that we've been kind of pushing, we thought it would be the best time to meet up as if like just as a group. It's something that, you know, one thing is being online, the other thing is face to face, the other thing is partying, the other thing is having a couple pops. So we figured, why not? This would be the perfect time to meet up.
You're making this sound like a Tinder process.
I know.
Okay.
Doing that on purpose.
So it's called Bash at the Bar. Now, what bar are we going to be at? And when can people come by? And what's going on? Because, dude, I mean, I host the flagship show, and I don't even know what's going on here. So please enlighten me and the rest of the people who might be coming to Dynamite on that Wednesday in October.
Right. So we're going to be at the Rhino Bar. The Rhino Bar is located in 12549 Queen Street West in Toronto, Queen West area. So it's a pretty big bar. It's a great bar. I've hosted parties there in the past.
Okay.
And essentially from 1 p.m. till whenever you want, officially 6 p.m., we're going to be just, you know, celebrating wrestling. We're going to be having prizes. We're going to be having giveaways. There might be some surprise attendees showing up. It's just going to be a good old time for the SNME family and then some to meet up, talk wrestling face-to-face before we go and scream our lungs off for AEW Dynamite.
Now, I'm always a sucker for prizes. Can you give us any sneak previews to what these prizes might be, or do we have to wait and find out when we get there?
Oh, we're going to have to wait and find out because some of them are going to be super cool. Some of them are going to be a lot of fun. Some of them are, you know, we're still figuring out some of the details on stuff.
That's the part of this I believe right there. you're being one of those kids that's like, oh, it's gonna be a sweet party, it's gonna be super cool, and all my friends are gonna be there, you should be there too. But
it will. All your friends are gonna be there. It's gonna be a fun time, honestly, though.
No,
yeah,
we're
it's gonna be a good time, and like I said, it's gonna be like we said, it's been forever, if ever, since, you know, the SNME or even predating that, the Law family has met up, right? So
yeah.
It's just going to be a good time. We're going to be able to see and meet some of the hosts, you know, and there's rumor that a certain Matthew Editor might even be doing a small little stand-up routine.
Oh, my. I had no idea. Now I'll be sure to be late. Just kidding.
All right. I don't know whether I'm promoting this or getting people to come.
All right. So the Rhino Bar, look it up. If you're heading to Dynamite, come early or 1:30 p.m., you said?
1 p.m. to 6 p.m. officially, 1249 Queen Street West.
All right. There you have it there. And the last question I have, Boris, even though summer is technically over, will the summer hat make an appearance at this party?
I believe the summer hat must make an appearance. I should be banned from all things SNME if I do not show up with the fabled legendary summer hat.
I think I can actually enforce that. So I don't know if.
Exactly. You're the only one who can.
All right. Last thing before we let you go, Boris Aguilar from NXT Talk, of course, one of our podcasts on the SNME Radio Podcast Network. Is it this week that we get the new NXT or is it next week? There's still one more week of pre-tape, right?
There's still one more week of pre-tape. So it's in 10 days where we're going to be getting the new branded NXT.
Are you excited? Are you looking forward to? What are you hoping for?
I'm personally excited. The past few weeks have been stellar NXT shows. Just stellar NXT shows with matches is over the top amazing. Like, you know, some must-watch matches of the year. So I'm really looking forward to that. And integration with half-decent stories. But what I'm really enjoying is that the main roster and NXT is now just one, quote-unquote, universe. It's all in canon. That's what I'm loving. We saw it with Solo Sikoa. You know, we've seen it with Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. So I'm really loving what this new NXT is bringing.
All right. Well, they'll be talking about that coming up on the Wednesday after NXT. Of course, I'll be there on the podcast network with Joe. Boris, safe travels, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Hopefully we chat soon.
Maybe he's boarding the airplane to go pick up the fantastic prizes we'll have for Bash at the Bar. Okay. In all seriousness, I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back for you again next week. Until then, thanks for listening and letting me do what I do. Play safe, drive safe. I'll be seeing ya.
To get the complete show as well as bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio.